Peace be with you. That's the greeting that Jesus always uses after the resurrection. It's the greeting that a bishop uses at Mass. Rather than the Lord be with you, the bishop, sharing in the fullness of the priesthood of Jesus Christ, says, peace be with you. It's this great, great gift that God gives to us, his peace that, as we say, St. Paul says, passes understanding, all understanding. It's one of the great gifts, and it's one of also the most fragile and elusive of gifts as well, I think, at least from seeing how sort of harried and haggard people look a lot of times going around. And the Lord wants us to have this peace. Interesting, in the gospel today, and also in the first reading, the first reading is always chosen to correspond with the gospel. One of the things that we think in our world would make for having peace seems to be, though, the way that the Lord is, in the first reading, something that is actually a source of anxiety, something that robs us of our peace, and that is the possession of wealth, actually especially of surplus wealth. The Gospels never, come out and necessarily condemn wealth, but I think you'd be very hard-pressed to find a place where it is spoken of entirely favorably. It's usually spoken of at least as a great danger to being able to really live the life of grace, including the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ that he wants to give us. The first reading is a very powerful reading from the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Vanity basically comes from a word that means empty. Things are empty, are without meaning. And this is sort of in a culmination and summary of the great wisdom tradition of the Jewish people. That this world really doesn't have anything to offer of eternal significance. The same passage goes on, not in the part that we had in the gospel, but it says, there is nothing new under the sun. Everything that is has been before. There's this sort of exhaustion, frankly, in the wisdom tradition of Israel. And it is indeed wise. It is true. We will be nothing but exhausted if we seek for any eternal significance or meaning in the things of this world in and of themselves. It's simply not there. It is indeed vanity. And this person who seeks after the things of this world in that first reading is depicted as exhausted and troubled and worried and full of anxiety. Sound familiar to anybody? The gospel, how did the gospel start off? The Lord goes on to give this parable about this rich man who has all these, he says so much stuff, he doesn't know what to do with it all, actually. It kind of reminded me of driving around here in Murfreesboro these days. Among all these things being built around here, there are an enormous number of storage facilities being built, Let me just give you a word to the wise. If you've got to rent somewhere for your stuff, you've got too much, okay? I know those people putting up those buildings will be upset with me because they're counting on people to rent the, but I don't think there's any danger of running out of people who have too much stuff. But the question that started out this whole thing was somebody coming to Jesus and say, tell this person to, you know, settle up this inheritance with me fairly. Again, it's this anxiety about stuff that's robbing this person of his peace. Peace be with you, the Lord says. Peace be with you. What can transform our anxiety about the goods of this world is to accept them in a supernatural sense, and that's where then they have some meaning. What are the goods of this world for? Well, they are to sustain us in this life in order to lead us to the world to come, to be used, in a sense, as an investment for the world to come. You know, people who do that sort of work, you know, they're always saying, think of the long term, right? Well, eternity is the long term, all right? And that's what we want to be investing for, to so be using the goods of this world for the world to come. And so there are only really two things to invest in then. That is in our relationship with God, because he's going to be there. And for the eternal good of the people who are around you, because they're also going to be there. And everything else that we see in this world is pretty much just prettied up dust and ashes. That's all it is. And that's about what it's worth. Again, in and of itself. The wonderful thing about this is that this transforms even the humblest goods of this world into something of significance if used with eternity in mind. They are not vain. They are not empty. Like, for example, if your chore yesterday was to scrub the bathroom, and you scrub the bathroom with all you've got for love of God and for the love of the other souls who use that bathroom, then that was of significance. That was not empty. That was not vain. That was for the glory of God and for the salvation of souls. That is not vanity. And you can be at peace. You can sit down and prop your feet up after that. Peace be with you. But all this, you know, accumulating and worrying and fretting and comparison and all this sort of thing that we do about the goods of this world is vain and empty and robs us of that great gift of peace that the Lord wants us to have. You know, there's a saying, you can't take it with you. And that's a very good saying, actually. There really is nothing that we can take out of this world materially. But there is one thing we can take out of this world. It's mentioned in the 19th chapter of Revelation, when John is describing the wedding banquet of the Lamb. And he's describing the bride, which is the church, and her beautiful bridal dress. And that dress is made of the good deeds of the saints. Your good deeds go before you, actually, we are told. So again, another way to have peace, to use the goods of this world for an eternal significance, so that they are not vain and empty, so that they do not cause anxiety and worry, but they give us peace. You know, conversely, poverty in and of itself is neither good nor bad necessarily. But if you listen to the verse before the gospel today, they quoted the first of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, our world doesn't buy that, does it? Our world doesn't buy blessed is the poor about anything, right? Our world sets great store on wealth and riches. But Jesus in the Beatitudes, the new law that's written on our hearts says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, what's good about that? What's blessed about that? Well, the main thing that's blessed about it is, if you add up all those Beatitudes, practically all of which are things our world doesn't put any value on, you know, meekness, mourning, being persecuted, all these things. But if you add all of that up, what do you come up with? Well, you come up with Jesus is what you come up with. And that's ultimately the value of poverty, is that it makes us like him. He who lived in uncomplaining poverty in this world with no place, to lay his head. And that poverty of spirit, I think, that the Lord speaks of, I had it described to me one time in this way, what it might mean, is that perhaps it's not so much about a poverty of having few things necessarily, as having few wants. A poverty of spirit. You know, because whether we have a lot of things or not, a lot of us have a lot of wants, don't we? We clutter up our lives, whether we possess things or not, with a lot of wants, a lot of desires that again rob us of peace. And the antidote to all of this is to recognize who we really are. That we are children of God and heirs of the kingdom of heaven. That's our identity. That's our dignity. And God cares for his children. And if we will stay, not let anything separate us from him, from the Father. These people in the gospel and in that first reading were worried about being separated from their stuff. Don't worry about being separated from your stuff. Worry only about being separated from him. Better yet, don't worry about it. Just don't do it. Stay close to him as his child, whom he loves and whom he blesses. And you will know his peace. In poverty or in abundance, as St. Paul says, it really won't matter. Because you will have him, the one thing that does matter.